ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of the Politics Now podcast. And navigating what our rapidly changing world means can be tricky.
I do think you're right to point to the ability of the backbench in Britain to agitate, be upset with Keir Starmer. That's one of the reasons he's gone.
That's why I'm joined by the sharpest political minds at the ABC to break down what each development means for Australia and how the government is positioning.
Albanese has got a much more compliant backbench and he's got much more dominance of the parliament just because of peculiar Australian features of our system.
That's Politics Now with me, Patricia Carvelis. Find it on ABC Listen.
For thousands of years, the question of extending life or living forever has occupied minds. But now it's taken on a new life. From Silicon Valley to Sydney, there's a buzz around longevity. Today, Dr. Norman Swan on his Four Corners investigation into the science and the peptides. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Norman, there's nothing new in the search for a fountain of youth, but a lot of people are looking for one right now. Just tell me, how long do you want to live for?
Well, Sam, that's a really interesting question, because when I embarked on this, we're going to cover the whole ethical issue. What happens if everybody lives to 120 or 150, all the hype that you hear?
Yeah.
And the people, we actually haven't included this in the Four Corners, but I did ask that of some of the people. And there are a couple of things that people said to us fairly consistently, is that they don't come across many people who want to live to 150.
Mm-hmm.
What people want is to live a long time in really good health. And if that's longer than they otherwise would have, that's all the better, as long as they're in good health.
Yeah.
Speaking personally, I'm in the camp, probably like you, where I'll take what I get. If I can get a few years longer, great, as long as it's in good health.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to be healthy. Although President Xi Jinping of China, of course, he was actually caught on microphone with Vladimir Putin at a military parade last year, suggesting, yes, humans could soon live to 150. So there's those out there in powerful positions that think this would be a very good idea.
Yeah, there's nothing like, having a powerful personality, maybe a dose of narcissism. No idea whether Xi Jinping's got that or Vladimir Putin. One suspects maybe one of them does. To think that the world could not survive without you, therefore going to 150 is a really good idea.
Exactly. All right, well, Norman, in the interest of research and for your Four Corners piece, of course.
Oh, we're getting down to facts now, are we, Sam? That's a really good idea. Yeah.
It's a great idea. All right, you agreed to be a guinea pig and you gave your blood to an Australian startup that promises to make people live longer. So tell me about that.
Well, they are promised to live longer, healthier. Mm-hmm. So they're in the health span business. But I needed to have my biological age done for the program, mm-hmm. because there are a couple of quite reliable or repeatable tests that you can have done to take your biological age. And the only way you can have it done in Australia is actually through this particular company that's got the license from the United States. So they very kindly agreed to expedite this test. And they said to me, well, while you're here, why don't you take our full service? And the full mm-hmm. service is full medical history, lots of blood tests, and then they give you your feedback based on your results. So I did get my biological age done, and it was good news.
Mm.
A measure of one, in 12 months, you've aged 1 year.
Mm.
And if you're above one, well, that's not great. And if you're below one, happiness. And mine came in at 0.93. And I'm probably aging about 14 or 15% slower than somebody in the equivalent of my age. So that's great news. And then I got all my biological tests back, and some were up, some were down. And the funny thing about this company was, so you got a doctor giving you back your results, and then you had a naturopath delivering you tailored supplements in little granules in like coffee pods.
Yeah, right. And obviously you decided that you didn't really need any more vitamins or minerals. You were doing pretty well already.
Nobody's going to fall off the chair when they find out I'm not taking them.
Well, let's come back to what's happening here in Australia, Norman, in a moment. But there is, I think it's worth noting, a lot going on in America. And you did a bit of a tour over there, including, of course, in San Francisco, because that's where anti-aging startups are really taking off, aren't they? It's huge business.
There's actually 400 or 500 biotech companies in the longevity startup business globally, as far as one of our analysts told us. And the majority of those are actually in the Bay Area, but they're spread around the world. This is serious stuff that's going on in the Bay Area. And if there's going to be a major breakthrough, you know, it's likely it's going to come from there or one of these other startups. So this is not frivolous research. It's not my mad biohacking. Now, the surprising thing I discovered, which contradicted what I came into this, is I thought that the money was in finding something that would turn back aging. So I take a pill and I'm going to be young again. In fact, the smart money is not on that. The smart money is on something called geroscience. And geroscience, the hypothesis is that a lot of the diseases that kill us or disable us are caused by aging at their roots. And therefore, if you can come upstream beyond cholesterol, beyond blood pressure, beyond smoking, to the aging causes of these diseases and sort that out, you can actually fix up a lot of diseases at the same time. And then they could develop one medication that they knock off multiple diseases and they get multiple pots of gold, and that's how they make their money. So the business side of this is fascinating. And in fact, the GLP-1s, the Ozempic-like drugs, are almost like a prototype for this. So they started off with diabetes, then they moved to obesity. Now they might actually fix up your heart and maybe your kidneys as well. And they keep on bolting on money-making projects around the side.
Well, Norman, why don't we return home now, because, you know, there's a huge booming industry in America, but also there really is here now too, isn't there? And a lot of that relates to peptides. This is all over social media, isn't it?
It is. Clinics are opening up in Australia, whether they're online, in, you know, bricks and mortar. You can go and get an IV drip, your IV drip bars and so on. So there's a lot of what goes on in America is now happening here. And there's an enormous market in peptides, as you say. So these are short chains of amino acids. These are the building blocks of proteins. And there are already peptides on the market, you know, the GLP-1s, insulin, growth hormone, things like that. So legitimate medications. But then there's all these other peptides. Mm. And it's really easy to get them. Mm. There's an enormous black market. So we, through another organization, put out a call for people to send in their mail order black market peptides. And then we got them tested in a lab in Melbourne. Mm. What we found was, in one sample, the dose was only 40% what you thought you'd bought. Mm. In the other one, it was 70%. And then in the third one, there was none at all. None of the peptide at all.
Oh my gosh.
And what they found is that in some of these samples, there's 7% free copper. And what it's there for, they think, is as a marketing gimmick, because it turns the peptide blue. So you're buying a blue peptide, which presumably you think is more effective, and copper is blue when it's in a chemical form, mm-hmm. and you're taking this toxic copper, in, you know, injecting it into your body. And none of these peptides are proven in humans. None of them have a safety profile. Some of them might do the job. They say there's a tanning one called melanotan, which does induce the chemical messenger, which induces tanning, pigmentation, but it also has off-target effects, because that same chemical messenger has effects in the brain and elsewhere. So you get side effects, and you can also get cancer of the skin as a result of it. So, you know, people are playing with fire here. And what Four Corners has discovered is it's really easy to get a prescription from a registered doctor. And what we did was we actually went to a clinic which offers telehealth consultations. Rachel Carbonell, our researcher, did this, where they had a peptide therapy consultation. That's how it was advertised.
Hi, Rachel. How are you going? Tell me exactly what is our problem? What is the intention?
I just sort of feel generally like I'm interested in sort of anti-aging healthcare, I guess, because I'm 51 and I'm feeling it, really.
You're aiming to, I guess, reduce the signs of fatigue, low energy, muscle cramping, struggling to recover from your exercise, reduce strength.
And Rachel quite easily ended up with a prescription for four peptides and a bill for nearly $1,200 if she wanted to fulfill the prescription.
The doctor made it very clear to me that I should have tried everything else that I can for these ailments that I'm going to get peptides for.
But nonetheless, you got the prescription.
I did. I had to sign a document giving my consent to potentially being prescribed unapproved goods. I mean, the doctor was fairly clear that there's not a lot of evidence.
And you actually went to an independent expert to review Rachel's treatment plan. That was Professor Catherine Samaras from St. Vincent's Private Hospital. So what did she find?
Well, the report that Rachel got, I think it just had Rachel's first name on it. Mm-hmm. It had no doctor's signature and no doctor's name on it. And Cathy Samaras felt that this was almost like a legal document to protect the doctor and the clinic. And she was concerned about some of the growth hormone effects that the peptides might have.
It will promote fluid retention, it will promote osteoarthritis, inflammation, deranged glucose metabolism, and increased diabetes risk if she's a susceptible person. And the big question for me is cancer.
So what did the clinic that prescribed these peptides to Rachel have to say?
Well, they said that they followed the guidelines, that they felt they were within the law. And we particularly asked them on their online advertising, wasn't that advertising an unapproved product, which they're not allowed to do? They denied that. However, after we had made contact with them, they removed that offer of that consultation and renamed it on their website.
Okay, well, Norman, it all does sound rather concerning. So let's look at what the health regulator is doing about this. Now, you sat down with the Therapeutic Goods Administration's chief medical advisor, who is Professor Robin Langham. What did she tell you?
Well, she was concerned. Mm. She claimed that they're trying to disrupt the social media advertising here, which is not legal. She said that they are concerned about the prescription of unapproved products. And the problem the TGA has is that while they regulate drugs, supplements, and medical devices, they don't regulate doctor, nurses, or pharmacists' behaviour.
The TGA is really working extremely hard to disrupt illegal advertising and also the illegal importation and supply of these unapproved peptides and other products that are leading to safety issues.
We can try and disrupt that, but you've got doctors all over the place prescribing these things.
They are regulated by a different regulator, which is APRA. There's allowances within our law for clinicians to be able to make their own decisions backed up by robust understanding of the evidence and the safety to prescribe unapproved products to their patients.
So there's a gap between them and the other regulatory agency which regulates health practitioners, the Australian Health Practitioners Regulation Agency, APRA. They did not give us an interview on Four Corners, but they did give us a long reply. APRA expressed concern that some practitioners may be seeking to exploit the latest health trends by putting profits ahead of patients. This is unacceptable. The onus is on practitioners to do the right thing and follow good practice, regardless of the business model or employment arrangements. And they say they are taking action against some practitioners, although they don't give specifics. But you get the sense that there is a regulatory twilight zone between these two agencies through which some longevity businesses are driving a truck.
So tell me then, Norman, if there is no or limited evidence of the efficacy or the safety of some of these products that promise to increase our lifespan, why is it that so many people want to use them?
It's much easier taking a pill than changing our behaviour. And we want the easy way out. Mm. The evidence suggests that people quite like the explanations given by alternate practitioners or complementary practitioners because it seems to appeal to them more rather than the more scientific explanations, which are harder to explain. And then you often couch them in uncertainty. So when a doctor is doing this and doing it honestly, it's never a straightforward story. There's always a margin of uncertainty around what you're saying. So you've got people giving you certainty, which is what people want. Mm. There is an appeal to doing this the easy way. And the trouble is, according to our research, at the moment, there is no easy way. There actually might be in the future. I mean, some of this research is really interesting and something may turn up, but not at the moment and certainly not in your local longevity clinic.
And clearly you're not going to go down this path, Norman, but you know, the Greeks have got it pretty sorted out, right? So maybe it's just a matter of fresh air, exercise and good food.
Yeah. And Professor Luigi Fontana at Sydney University, who's an international authority on metabolism, aging, chronic disease and so on, you know, he's shown quite clearly that if you have a high nutrient diet that's calorie controlled with a lot of exercise, so Mediterranean style diet, you actually fulfill the geroscience hypothesis. You attack aging at its roots. So what all these startups are doing, trying to do it with a pill, you actually achieve, boringly, with diet and exercise. But you knew that already, didn't you, Sam?
I did indeed. Norman, thank you so much. Norman Swan is the co-host of The Health Report and What's That Rash on ABC Radio National. You can see his Four Corners report tonight on ABC TV at 8:30 or watch it on iView. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.